Eileen. You're welcome back to The Late Debate. You can contact me in studio today, tonight, 51551 on text, email latedebate@rte.ie. You can follow and engage on Twitter at latedebate.rte. The panel this evening is Joe Costello, Labour TD, Senator David Cullinan of Sinn Féin, Michael Taft of Unite, and Ger Colleran, columnist with The Star. Well, on the eve of what may be a mass mobilisation against water charges tomorrow, where all the main players on the left are involved, today Labour decided in a confidence vote to stick with power, to stick with Fine Gael, Joe Costello, to stick with the policies of the last 3 years, the policies of austerity. Why, when you're being whipped in the polls?
Well, there was a proposed motion of no confidence in the government from Sinn Féin, which of course was purely another one of the stunts that they've been introducing in the last number of weeks, suspending the Dáil, stopping the House, sitting for 4 hours, and then naming the names as they did in the context of the Public Accounts Committee, an attempt to distract from the real issues that they hadn't answered, which was what happened to all the child abusers that they had set up through kangaroo courts and they had sent down south. So this is more of the same, and that's really what it was about. So
why is that
the government tabled a motion of confidence in itself. So it was a motion of confidence in the government.
Why outrageous?
It's outrageous because Sinn Féin has a job to do as an opposition party, and we are doing our job. And what Joe and what Labour and Fine Gael need to understand is Sinn Féin is not there to play by their rules. So we are there to challenge privilege. We are there to challenge the elites. We're there to challenge what we see as wrongdoing from this government. And Joe talked about a stunt. The real stunt from this government was that Sinn Féin was using and wanted to use its private members' time to table a motion of no confidence in an Taoiseach and the government, to hold the government to account. And instead of allowing that debate to happen, the government instead preempted that and had a motion of confidence 24 hours in advance of what should have been a motion of no confidence.
Which is
tomorrow.
What often happens, of course.
No, that never happens.
Why, Joe Costello, when you're talking about confidence in your own government of Labour and Fine Gael, why do you start talking about Sinn Féin?
Why do we start talking about it? They tabled the motion.
But this is a confidence issue in Endicanny and the government. Why start talking about Sinn Féin?
I wanted to put it in context. I'll tell you all about the motion. But to put it in context, that this wasn't a meaningful motion. The motion that they have tabled is a useful motion, which is recognising the state of Palestine, which I'll be supporting. But to put a table this motion, knowing that the government had such an overwhelming majority, considering that we had just passed the first budget that really introduced considerable benefits to the hard-pressed taxpayer and to various other sectors. Can I just go through it? Considering that we had put in place a major contribution in relation to dealing with the water charges, considering that we had put together the first strategy in the last 20 years in relation to housing. All of these
Have they really plucked it out of the air? On homelessness, you've been found wanting, have you not? On Irish water, you're forcing people, Labour in government is forcing people who simply do not have the money to pay extra money. Now, people say, like Gerry Adams said in the Dáil today, what is the point of Labour if they're not there to promote equality? An awful lot of people will be marching on the streets of Dublin tomorrow and they will say, where is the social voice in government?
Yeah, well, there it is. Cormac, if you have read the ESRI, the latest ESRI report, they have said that this is a progressive budget.
Nevin and Corey have said they're regressive.
No, the ESRI are the distinguished body.
You're saying Nevin and Corey are not?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that they are the body, they are the agency in the Irish context that is the most recognised and the one that is.
Yeah, you don't recognise Nevin or Corey then?
Look,
Sean Healy, for example, who's been dealing with social deprivation for many years.
Joe is factually wrong. First of all, Joe, it was the government who proposed the motion of confidence in the Taoiseach today, not Sinn Féin. So what you're saying is that on the one hand, you did not want to debate a motion of no confidence in an Taoiseach, but you had no problem debating a motion of confidence that you and your party proposed.
No,
but you see, this isn't about this. But this
I'm
isn't
saying,
about. This isn't about that. No, let me finish, Joe. This isn't about any of that. What this was about was an opportunity to discuss the direction of this country and where we're at, because people out there are suffering. And the opinion polls are showing, if you look at the last opinion poll, 19% for Fine Gael, 6% for Labour, that this government has lost its mandate. And what we're seeing now from this government is more auction politics, as we see a division between Fine Gael and
Labour. But this government has a mandate until 2016. Is Sinn Féin simply not trying to whip up more anger on the basis of a mass demonstration
Sinn
tomorrow?
Sinn Féin doesn't have to whip up any anger. The people are angry with this government because of the policies.
Is that right? Is that your reading of it?
We've spent the last few minutes talking about something that nobody out there in the real world gives a fiddler's. It's all dull theatrics. And it's just a bit of political stagery that's going on to impress themselves, and it impresses nobody else. The fact of the matter is that the government would have been anticipated to do this. The motion was put down. Governments do counter motions, and there you go. And anyway, it makes no difference.
What do you mean it makes no difference?
That's not
what happened to the Dáil. Look, David,
that's not what happened.
I can assure you, that's nobody out there, and seeing as how the Sinn Féin party has its touch on the pulse of the nation, or finger on the pulse of the nation, it should know that. Nobody cares what happens in the Dáil, Ger,
but can I say to you that what normally happens in these situations, and you're around a long time, you know this, that the government will allow the motion of no confidence to be tabled,
and on that day they will counter. I can assure you, nobody cares what's going to happen tomorrow.
They do want
this
government to be
held to account. What they do care about is water charges and the blackguarding of ordinary people through water charges, property.
And all this stuff
that has come as a result of government decisions. They came to a fork in the road when they came to government in 2011. And they came to a fork in the road, which was grow a pair and act on behalf of the people of Ireland, or go in the direction of doing what you're told by the European masters. And they took the road towards doing what they were told by their European masters. And every single instrument of pain that has been imposed on the Irish people in the meantime has resulted from that decision. They didn't stand up for the Irish people in 2011 when they should have and had a chance to do mandate. The Irish government didn't. They could have told our great European friends at that time, no, we are not paying any more bondholders and bust Irish banks. And by the way, added to that, they could have said, and by the way, the money we've put in, we want it back. Now, they got this spurious, ridiculous agreement in 2012, got to do with recapitalisation of the banks, pretending that it was going to be the kind of safety net for all the money that we put into that, the bust banks. We didn't get a red farthing yet out of it.
Oh, OK, and we're still waiting. But look,
do you believe, Ger, that the people of this state have confidence in this government?
I don't believe they have confidence in
this
government.
So what's
wrong
with tabling a motion?
But
I
think it's just pure political. It's empty and sterile political theatrics that means nothing.
Should we not have a debate on the confidence of the government?
Hold on, where
the people are at?
Joe Costello,
it is total theatrics. If anybody was to put forward a motion of no confidence, it would have been the main party, the main opposition party, Fianna Fáil.
But Sinn Féin is the main opposition party.
No, they're not the main opposition party. Fianna Fáil is... Sinn Féin may think they are, but they are not. Fianna Fáil is. And it is normal practice that the government put forward a motion of confidence. And look, there's no sense in us debating this. There was not a hope in hell that that motion was going to be passed. Everybody knew it. It was an opportunity for a bit of argy-bargy, a Punch and Judy show for...
But there's a serious issue. Hold on now. There's a serious issue here. Do you think you have the confidence of the people as a government?
We were elected for a term of office right now. Well, look, you can never know what confidence you have until you face the electorate.
But this is astounding, though, that a Labour TD comes on a programme and prevaricates over a simple question.
Yeah.
Do you think you have,
look,
as of now...
Do you think, right now,
on the eve of this demonstration tomorrow, do you think the Fine Gael Labour coalition has the confidence of the people?
You can't know whether we have the confidence of the people until we put it to the people. And that we are at the present time at a stage where we have made a lot of difficult decisions. I mean, when you make decisions that people have to experience sacrifices in their lives, in their livelihoods, in their families, we had to make those decisions.
Do you have a crisis of confidence?
But hold on for a second.
Any other TD at any other time would come out confidently and say, yes, we do have the confidence of the people.
You cannot get a simple answer.
Why not?
At a different time, you can see the polls were going to vary across the board.
You're but having a crisis of confidence, aren't you?
No, we're not. We're following a programme of government. At this point in time, we've had the local property tax, we've had the water charges, but at the same time, we are the fastest growing economy in the European Union.
You're taking the whipping at the polls,
4.7% at the present time. We are beginning the recovery. The actual GDP is 1.2 billion ahead of projections.
Tell that to the people tomorrow. Will you meet them tomorrow and tell them that exactly?
Five-year period. We're elected for a five-year period. Right throughout that period, you're not going to be as popular at every stage of it. But what I'm saying is that we followed motion, we followed proposals and we followed policies and policies that we said we would do. So when we come to face the people again,
I have no doubt you could turn around to David Cullinan this evening and all of your critics by telling them to put up or shut up, to get stuff by calling an election tomorrow. But you fear for your political life, don't you?
When we face the people, either at the end of 2015 or in 2016, we will have the confidence of the people because we will have done what we said we would do.
Michael Taft, what's your reading of that in terms of the government having confidence?
Well, I mean, it would appear from the polls, from a series of polls, that, support for the government and for government policy seems to be, now lower than any other time during their period of government, whether you want to say that that's a lack of confidence or not. I mean, all we can do is just look at not only the falling support for the government parties, but, rise for, obviously Sinn Féin's gain, but, a huge increase among independents. And I think that shows a real dissatisfaction among people. I mean, I think the point was made about how relevant what happened today, how relevant was that to people? That is why a lot of people have been marching, for instance, against the water charges, not just about water charges, but about a whole range of things, but about confidence, government confidence in the issue of water policy, but also in a range of issues. So, no, they don't have the confidence. But I think there's something, if I may...
Okay, I'll ask you, somebody, whoever owns the phone, to get rid of it. But can I ask you, Michael Taft, if the government were given an opportunity, and Labour in particular were given an opportunity to say, look it, people are unhappy with the direction the government has taken, if that's how they feel, that we're not going to vote confidence in Kenny or in the government as it stands. If Labour had taken that stance, it would have been hugely significant and you wouldn't have taken that line by saying it's irrelevant.
That's true. I mean, obviously, if Labour had voted against the government, I think we'd be having a different kind of conversation. You'd probably have different people in here.
No, I wouldn't. You'd be the exact four I'd have in here.
What sort of question is that?
Labour is part of the government.
Okay, but I understand that, Joe. But the question is that all of these people, I don't know how many people will demonstrate tomorrow, but all of the people who will demonstrate tomorrow, do you think they look to Labour to save them from further austerity?
Labour has done enormous amount of work in relation to the water charges to ensure that what a single family unit is going to pay 1.15 euro per week for water. Did you see the platform of the Detroit water people? They're looking precisely for the things that we have got at the present time. Precisely, this is the campaigners from Detroit who are marching in Detroit against water charges, but they are marching for exactly what we are delivering.
Well, Joe, there was a presentation today in the Oireachtas by those people from Detroit. You are not at that, Joe. I was at it, and I listened to what the people in Detroit said. And what they said is that we, the people of Detroit, or those people that were there, represent the ghosts of Ireland's future. Because once you introduce the concept of water charges, it will lead to privatisation in the long run. That's what they have. I'm saying, Joe, I was at the briefing today. You are not. So don't misrepresent the people from Detroit.
It was a Sinn Féin briefing. It wasn't.
So you don't want to come because it was a Sinn Féin event. You were indeed. All our Oireachtas members were invited. So I want to park that for 1 second and come back. If I can come back short to this notion
of lying on that.
This notion of, well, you've heard what they've said. It's been on the media. But if I can come back to the notion of confidence in this government.
They're in favour of paying for water.
The reality, Joe, is this. The people of this state cannot take one more year of this government. That's the reality. Whether it's water charges...
Let's stick to facts.
Says well, who? Says are, who?
Well, the opinion polls,
not
obviously.
Not the opinion polls. Why? Because Sinn Féin has 22%?
Not because Sinn Féin is on 22%, but because government support has fallen consistently in every opinion
but
poll
you've
below
heard, Joe,
30%.
Government support, all governments through all
a lot
of time, goes up
Joe.
And down. Goes up and down. Who are you to say that this government, the government doesn't have the support of the people?
I'm a citizen like yourself who understands
in
what's
a political
happening
party,
to people. Yes,
with
but
a vested interest.
Well, no. I understand the reality of what's happening to people on the ground. And I go back to a point that Ger made about what people are really concerned about is water charges. You see, people didn't vote for a cut in the respite care grant, or people didn't vote for a cut in carers payments, or people didn't vote for a cut in child benefits, or people didn't vote for an increase in college fees.
There isn't even a respite care grant in Northern
they
Ireland.
Didn't even
we'd like to see you introduce
they,
it,
well,
so there could be a cut.
I'd love to see your party stand for elections.
To,
people didn't vote for any
of
these things. They voted for something different. They voted for a fair recovery, and that's why they voted for the Labour Party, and they didn't get it.
To be a very cruel man, no heart at all, to not have some pity when you see a politician squirm in the way Mr. Costello is doing. And he mentioned the issue about difficult decisions have been made by this government. Wrong decisions have been made by this government. And there is a direct line between those decisions and the imposition of this water tax. There's a direct line between those decisions and the imposition of property tax, because those decisions taken by your government, John, your government, that didn't stand up to Europe, that didn't insist that debt not belonging to the people of Ireland was placed on their shoulders. Those decisions has led to the imposition of pain and suffering on the very people that you promised to represent. And you haven't represented them. And it's a very great disappointment to people like me and others that you haven't represented those people properly, because it now proves,
sure,
and it now
them.
Shows that the centre is breaking apart at the seams at the centre, because there is no integrity at the centre. And you are hunting and herding thousands and tens of thousands of supporters who would otherwise be in that catchment into the hands of Sinn Féin. They love you for this, Joe. You are their best friend. You're like Paisley during the IRA campaign. They wouldn't touch him, because a finger on Paisley would damage their campaign.
Let him respond.
Jerry, you've had a good rant there. We're not squirming about anything. If you read the programme for government, you'll see exactly what we proposed we would do. We weren't the people who voted for the bank guarantee. Sinn Féin voted for it, and Fianna Fáil voted for it, and others. Yes, you did.
No,
look, it's a matter of record.
It is a matter of record.
David, will
not.
You please just acknowledge the facts? It's
I
a matter of record. Sinn Féin
vote
voted
guarantee.
For it. And Piers Doherty said this was absolutely essential. So let's just accept
what about
your
colleague's point?
When
that,
we came
that
in then,
because of your actions
to,
in government, you're driving people into the arms of Sinn Féin. That's his point. Answer
what
that
we,
one.
What we had to do, we had to effectively
to
save the country from ruin. Where were we going to get funding? There was 3 months of exchequer funding to run the country when we came in 2012. How were we going to manage to pay for guards and nurses and doctors and everybody else
Michael
to run the
Taft
country?
Michael Taft
Why? If
Why
we Michael couldn't, Taft? If we couldn't borrow money, if we couldn't borrow money, where were we going to get it? Were we going to get a tantrum and say, burn everything, and that we were going to get the money from the international markets?
Well, Michael and Gerard, what's wrong with his point? Because we do now, statistically, have the fastest growing economy in the European Union.
Okay, well, first off, I don't want to kind of get into kind of just have a historical, a debate of historical facts. But the fact is, by the time the government came into power, a deal had been signed guaranteeing us 67 billion euros over the next 3 years, with a possibility of upping that up even further if we needed further recapitalization. I've heard a lot of government TDs and ministers say that, you know, there's only 3 months' money left in the kitty, 6 months. Mm-hmm. No, there were 67 billion euros. That was signed three or four months before the government actually came into power. So that was there. Whether one agrees with that or not, whether you know one takes Jair's line that we should have told them to stuff it or not, the fact is
no,
that we had.
Okay. I didn't say that. No,
okay.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't have accepted the Troika bailout.
Okay, fair
what
enough.
I'm saying is that subsequent decisions made by government, having assumed office in 2011, where they refused to stand up to Trichet and the ECB in respect of bondholders, and where they refused to press the point in relation to repayment to us of recapitalisation of the banks, seeing as how we saved the European banking structure and probably eventually even
okay.
to Europe.
But can I bring this back to tonight and particularly tomorrow? All of these people who will demonstrate tomorrow, will they look to any party or anyone politically, or are they just going out of sheer frustration and anger and will not look in the direction of Leinster House at all, Michael Taft?
Well, I can't break down that into its different constituent parts. I do think that what is happening, though, and let's be frank, everyone was taken by surprise. First off, with the 100,000 people that came out in Dublin, and then with well over 150,000 that came out in the communities. Now, this will be a substantial crowd tomorrow, and I think what you are saying is one. The opportunity of people to participate in a peaceful and democratic protest, and to do so for the first time since ICTU organized a huge march back in December of 2010, which shows that it's not that people have kind of accepted this. They felt that they have no choice, but now they feel they have a choice. They feel this voice being heard. Let's not
but
forget...
But anger is no good.
Huh?
But anger is no good on its own. Demonstrations are no good on their own, surely. There has to be politics to back it up. There has to be politics.
If I may just say this, look at the climb down the government has made on water charges.
And that's political.
That's right.
So where is the politics going to come from?
But I'm just saying the focus of the campaign was on water charges. Families had the potential of being hit with charges of 500, 600, 700 euros. There has been a substantial climb down. Don't tell me that these demonstrations don't have an effect. We saw the U-turns and the climb down the government made in the face of those protests.
If you're
asking me whether that group of people, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people who marched, can come together in one coherent voice, that remains to be seen. But the trade unions involved in Right to Water will be wanting to work at that next year to make sure that this is not just about anger, not just about charges, but actually spreads to a progressive and democratic
politics. Okay, but Sinn Féin wants to be that one voice for those people, but is that not simply
populist? No, we want to be part of a collective voice, right? Sinn Féin is only one part in the cog, which is the Right to Water campaign. There are a number of other political parties on the left. There are left independents and there are trade unionists and there are community groups right across this state. It is
look,
the
it,
best...
Is your tr- sorry, is Sinn Féin, this is an important question, but for all the people marching tomorrow, is Sinn Féin's trajectory now very similar to Labour's when they were in opposition? You're anti-government policy, you're angry at almost everything. Do you have any single constructive policy?
You have to, first of all, channel the anger which is there, which is a point you made earlier, constructively, and that's what the Right to Water campaign has done. So we've been very successful in mobilising people, but in a constructive way. We have put forward alternative policies to
Labour.
Well, what Labour are doing at the moment, by the way, is commissioning opinion polls on what to do on taxation, which that's the madness of where Labour are at. And we're now getting auction politics from both Fine Gael and the Labour Party about the next election.
In the Republic, you're against everything that the government does. In the North, it's very different. Can you give me one single policy that may be unpopular that Labour proposes? Just one.
In what sense?
Give me one policy that Sinn Féin, proposes that would be unpopular with the general electorate.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do is increase the betting tax. I'm sure that would be unpopular with some people.
Increase excise duty
on cigarettes. That would be unpopular for some people.
Generally, I've given you two examples.
You missed the point completely, Cormac, because what we're in favour of is fair, just and progressive taxation.
That means nothing.
It does, of course.
Give me specifics.
I can give you all the examples you want if you let me
answer the question.
So if you're asking specifically what is Sinn Féin proposing, we're proposing a wealth tax, we're proposing increases in capital gains tax and capital acquisitions tax,
and we're also proposing a 40% third rate tax. When you say wealth tax, what do you mean specifically?
A 1% income-linked wealth tax on all assets over 1 million euro, something which has been proposed by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions.
That would
by
be Knight popular.
And by
something unpopular now.
Well, why would we introduce decisions which we believe are not just unpopular but wrong? It isn't about whether they're popular or unpopular.
I'll tell you why. Because if you were in power, you'd have to deal with a 5 billion deficit next year. So you'd have to surely come up with something that would be unpopular
to most
people.
You have to look at things differently, Cormac. Okay. And if I give a good example, maybe in the health service, one of the things that we want to see is the full cost of private healthcare being, in terms of people who take up private beds in public hospitals, the full cost of that being borne by the person who has private health insurance. And that might be seen as unpopular because we want to invest money in the public service. But in the long term, that's better because you end up then with a much better public health service. So it isn't about whether it's popular or unpopular.
Is this not the fallacy of Sinn Féin's position? You criticise the government for everything, but really and truly, when it comes to the crunch and when you actually look for detail from Sinn Féin,
You're struggling this evening. You've given me stuff on extra taxes for well over a million.
Yeah,
I think you need to be, first of all, you need to allow me to answer the question
and
be fair on my response.
The proposal on healthcare, where they're going to effectively tax people still further who've already paid taxes to have a public bed, will drive people.
Private beds.
Will drive people out of private health insurance still further. And, but it's not a question of whether they have popular or unpopular policies. It's what type of policies they represent is the issue here. And they have had a feast on the basis of performance of government. It would be hard to imagine a more propitious opportunity for opposition parties than in the last 3.5 years, seen as how the government has gone about its decisions. The government was elected as a new clean sweep after a massive failure of politics from about 2002 to when we got rid of Fianna Fáil-led government in 2011. And I think the people of Ireland invested great hope in this new administration, that it would be behind this proverbial pane of glass, that it would do the right thing, that it would stand up for the interests of Ireland. It manifestly has failed to do so.
Was that not the media blowing it up, though?
No, it was not. They said that themselves. Frank Courtois, remember that one?
That was before the election.
Yes.
That was before they had to compromise in coalition.
But that's the point. The whole thing was corrupted then by lies and just...
Easy.
Hold on,
what do you mean
when you put down something in a manifesto and say that this will be your policy. It is a lie then when you turn Voltface inside in government. When you have Rory Quinn signing some document saying he won't impose education charges on people and then does the opposite in government. When you have people like Leo Varadkar saying not another cent for bondholders and then does the opposite. And when you have people like Eamon Gilmore talking about Frankfurt's way or Labour's way and then it goes Frankfurt's way.
When you have somebody like Chair who should know better, putting this entirely out of context, there is a context there where the country was absolutely going under.
And you knew that, though.
We knew that. But we put together policies that we agreed on.
You made those promises knowing that.
We got the Troika out of the country 3 years. It was supposed to be a 5-year period. They were gone after 3 years. We brought the country back in recovery. You have Greece. What's Greece doing, Ger? They're going for their second bailout. Did they not see your wisdom? They're about to embark on their second bailout, whereas we are the fastest growing economy in Europe at the present time. And we are...
Do you know about a man by the name of Philip
Legrand?
Do you know a man by the name of Philip Legrand?
At the same time...
He worked with
Barroso. At the same time, we have protected people in relation to social welfare benefits right across the board during the difficult times. And now we are restoring back to the people who are least well off. We're getting rid of where we have in this budget made considerable reform in relation to the universal social charge. We've taken 80,000 people out of the universal social charge. We took 330,000 people out of it already. It was introduced before we came into government. So we are trying at the present time to use the benefits of the recovering economy in the interest of the people who made the sacrifices.
Can I ask a question?
And don't forget, there are other countries, and you can look at any of them. Have any of them followed the road that Ger is talking about? We had Argentina follow the road that Ger is talking about. I'm talking about the exact same road.
Basically, you'd have to give it to the government. Since they made the initial decision to pay the bondholders and refuse to stand up in terms of recapitalisation of the banks towards their own lords and masters in Europe. Well, everything they have done has been fairly rational. Everything they have done, because everything follows from those decisions.
Sure, you have to get
but the fact
truth.
Of the matter is, and Joe doesn't even know who I'm talking about because he probably hasn't even checked, Philip Legrand was working with Barroso as an economist, an English economist working with Barroso, and he is on record as saying, at that very time that this government came to office, that if the Irish government had stared down the ECB at that time, that they would that the ECB would have blinked on the bondholders and perhaps
can I ask
even
you on the
hold on now. How can
we
you
didn't do
hold on,
it
in a second.
Another,
no, how can you argue, Ger?
Sure.
On a macro level, on a macro level, for the first time in 5 years, the unemployment rate hasn't been as low in 5 years. I'll put it that way.
And also, the
fastest growing economy in Europe, they say it all the time, but it's true. How can you argue with that on a macro level?
In the same way as the Celtic Tiger couldn't keep rising forever, you cannot beat an economy so low that it will never stop falling.
Is that not simply unfair and cynical?
It is. There's a marginal increase in growth in this economy on the basis of a catastrophic blow to the economy over the last 5 or 6 years. And the fact of the matter is, they didn't stand up. They would have got concessions.
It's not
and
a marginal increase, though.
They carried out two trickeries.
Is the rate of growth not the envy of Europe next year? The projected rate of growth.
From where? From the battering that austerity and has delivered over the last 6 years?
The reduction in unemployment. Who would have thought now, when we came in at 15% unemployment, that it's down now to 10.9%? And it's coming down.
And
further.
Mass immigration. It's and people who are
the
homeless.
Mass immigration
and people who can't
is not
get mortgages,
taking any
and
longer.
And people raising families
as you well
in small
know,
apartments.
There are more
move.
People coming into this country every year now the than there are leaving it.
Let me bring in Michael Taft because I wonder is the narrative of this conversation being a bit unreasonable to the government because they found themselves in a situation where the economy was decimated and it's very difficult to build anything on that basis, but are the signs not pointing in the right direction?
There is growth in the economy. It is nothing like what's being suggested in the headline numbers. The Fiscal Council has made this point. The Central Bank has made this point. And the ISRI has made this point. There is growth, but let's not overstate it. There is growth in employment, but it's not nearly as much as
I'll put a tenor on with you now that by the end of the year that we have an excess of 5% growth GDP.
I have no doubt that that I will have
if
no
doubt. If anybody around the table will take it.
I'm sorry. I have.
And is that
let him
growth?
Talk. Let him talk. Mike,
I have no doubt that I have no doubt that that could very possibly be the case. And you will also have to acknowledge, Joe, that nearly half of that comes from contract manufacturing in foreign countries, whereby you have this bizarre situation where goods that are produced in a foreign country and shipped from that foreign country are counted as our exports, which has done this. And all the major commentators have pointed this out. I think that what we have to bear in mind two things. One, the government adopted the Fianna Fáil game plan in terms of when it came into office. Michael Noonan was at pains on a number of occasions, including on RTE and in the Dáil, to state that the Troika did not look over our shoulder. The Troika did not dictate the specific policies of tax increases or spending cuts or investment. That was left to the autonomy of the government as long as they reach their deficit. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there's no doubt that the recession was extended beyond what it needed to be extended, first by Fianna Fáil's deflationary policies and then by the current government's deflationary policies. But can I just say...
But they stabilised the economy. Market jitters. Bond yields were sky high.
Yes, and I think we have to finally, and to be honest, we have to finally thank the ECB under the new leadership of Mario Draghi, who actually introduced the type of measures that Trichet should have done back in 2009.
Bond yields were falling before he came in.
That's right, because that they were on an unrealistic levels. No one believed that, and that's why... The problem is that if parties attack... which they did when Fianna Fáil was in power, They attacked Fianna Fáil's economic policies and quite rightly attacked Macdonald's. How in the world can you expect...
Hold on.
Made the difference.
How can you expect anybody else to take an alternative position when those parties in opposition then came into government and actually
You're just hurt politically by Labour. It's not the result of their policies. You're hurt politically by what they said and what they did. Is that not right? You expected a lot more from Labour in power.
Well, I expected a lot more from... I think a lot of people... I wasn't alone. I think a lot of people expected a lot more from Labour in power.
You refuse now to give them any credit then.
You cannot give a political party any credit for pursuing an irrational policy like austerity.
David Cullinan is trying to get in for some time.
Can I first of all say that there has been modest growth in the economy, Joe, and I'm prepared to acknowledge that, but it's very modest growth. The question then is, what is the government doing with it? And I go back to what I said earlier, what we're now hearing from Labour, and you talk about fairy tale economics when it comes to Sinn Féin, you want to abolish the universal social charge. Where are you going to get the money to do that, for example? I haven't heard anything from Labour in relation to public services. We have hospitals which are creaking under pressure. We have schools which don't have enough teachers, don't have enough special needs assistance. And in the here and the now, leaving aside what you say you will do in the next lifetime of the next government, and you won't be in government in the first place anyway, so it's easy to make those claims. But people are on the streets now about water charges. You're talking about, at some point in the future, abolishing the universal social charge. Today and tomorrow, you'll have big numbers marching. People want the water charges scrapped. Why can you not scrap the water charges? You say
hold
you can,
on now, what about
you can
Sinn
scrap
Féin? Okay,
the universal
we'll
social
come back
charge.
To that.
But in the here and
people,
the now,
people
you're
also,
to scrap water
some
charges.
People will look for an alternative. Where are your policies on taxation? What would you do with income tax, for example, Sinn Féin?
Well, first of all, we would increase income tax on the higher earners. So we would introduce a 48% tax rate on individual income over €100,000. I gave the examples of the wealth tax and some other examples as well.
Increase VAT?
No, because what we want to do is look after and support those on low and middle incomes.
Okay.
And what we've seen
would
in
you
this
scrap
state,
the local property charge?
Yes, we have given a clear commitment to scrap the property tax and the water charges, and here's why.
You'd scrap water as well?
No, I want to give... Yes.
Sorry, yeah,
and
scrap,
I'm giving
and
the
would you scrap anything
why.
Else?
Well, we have to produce an election manifesto. All of these are up for discussion.
Okay,
we have an Ardesh.
The thing is, you're pushing Joe and Labour here for specifics.
I've given you specifics. I've told you what we will do. But what I'm saying is this.
Do you think would that close the deficit?
Listen, if you can allow me to make the point, please, Cormac. What we've got from this government over the last number of years and the previous governments is an increase in inequality and more people living in poverty. Why? Because we've moved away from progressive taxation to a whole plethora of indirect, stealth, regressive charges. So we make no apologies for wanting to scrap the property tax and the water charges and put money back in people's pockets. We also make
okay,
no apologies.
Where would you find the money to close the deficit, though? Because we have targets to meet as a country, surely. Now, you've given me some on wealth tax and various
other
things.
But the deficit is pretty much closed. There is some adjustment to be made. So we're
now
in a different territory.
Thank you very much, David. That's very kind of you
it's,
to acknowledge
not,
that
it's
the deficit
not closed.
Is nearly closed.
And every year
can
we put forward
can I just
costs
answer the questions?
And how you would do that, but in a
look,
fairer way.
Joe David,
Costello,
David
was a
has,
fairer way to do it.
Look, it's fairy tale stuff, and it's getting more fairy tale as we
it's
go on.
It's nightmare economics
nebulous,
from you,
nebulous,
that's for sure.
Nebulous,
that's why you're on
nebulous
6%.
Well tagged. Now, modest growth, 5% growth, the highest, fastest...
From
in,
a low base.
In, the fastest in Europe. That's not modest. That's not 80,000 people that are now employed in the last 2 years. 125,000 off the live register. More people coming into the country than leaving.
Jobs bridge,
as Gerwell knows. How are we going to deal with the universal social charge? We're going to do it on a phased basis. We've reformed it very considerably already. 80,000 people out of it in this particular budget, and we've changed the tax rates as well.
And cut income tax as well.
3.5% at the lower level.
Top rate of income tax as
8%
well.
8% increase from 70,000 on. So
and income tax the top rate?
That. Income tax is that. Well, yes, we've taken 1% off. Oh,
well, you'll cut that time. Again, will you?
No, we look to see what the situation is at the end
will.
Of the year. I mean, We can't. All I'm saying is that the priority is going to be the universal social charge. What have we done with health? We have this year, we're going to have everybody under seven going to have the medical card, have the GP card, and everybody over 70. The schools, we have put another close to 2,000.
Michael Tapp wants to get in. But first, 51551, Tom says, I've not been on the march yet, but I will be there tomorrow. Another texter, Labour has not done what they said they would do. They have sold the people out for power. Morris says, Colleran and that Sinn Féin person should join the real world. They appear to want us to become like Greece or Argentina. Loretta says, I couldn't give a monkeys about property tax or water charges. It's the economy, Ger. We need jobs, so we need entrepreneurs now. We need a system that allows people to create work. Ask Joe what happened to Labour's way, not Frankfurt's way. And Stephen in Drogheda says, Joe, remember Labour's way, not Frankfurt's way. I voted Jed Nash number one. I can't wait for the election. Labour out is my mission. Michael Taft wanted to get in there.
Yeah, I think it's good that Joe, you know, started talking about, you know, what they might intend to do in the future, because I think that people want to hear the different policy prescriptions, not only from political parties, but from commentators as well, about what is going forward, rather than arguing what happened in 2011 or what should have happened in 2013, or whether growth rate is like 4 or 5 or 6%, which is really meaningless at the end of the day for a lot of people. Now, I think that Joe touched on Joe touched on a particular thing, because what is emerging now, and we saw this in the last few days, is a very worrying debate over who's going to cut what kind of taxes the most. And I think this is going to be a real cleavage in Irish politics, certainly up in the next election. For instance, tax cuts will not deliver affordable childcare. Tax cuts will not deliver affordable rents. Tax cuts will not deliver a free, comprehensive primary system. Tax cuts will not help one person of the 25% of people who are living in material deprivation will Absolutely. Not help one of them. What we are now witnessing, in fact, if anything, tax cuts will reduce the government's capacity to boost people's living standards by undermining social and economic investment. But let's just the one final point I'd make, because this is the worrying thing. We are going back to boom and bust economics. What happened before the crash? We had parties, you know, clamoring all over themselves to argue for tax cuts. Then during the time when the property market was overheating. Now what do we have today? We have parties saying, oh, we'll cut this tax or cut that tax. The property market is the fastest growing market in the world, and we have a housing crisis.
So you could surmise, Gerard Colleran, from what Michael Taft is saying, that we need a strong party on the left. Now, is Labour that party? Will Labour be that party, or will it be Sinn Féin? What happens? Does it really matter if Labour are obliterated at the next election?
Well, I would regret Labour being obliterated at the next election. I think they have a lot to contribute, except that they have betrayed the trust of the Irish people vested in them in 2011. I think it has been a great tragedy for politics. And I think they should have learned, because they should have seen what happened to Fianna Fáil. And I'm mindful of the fact as well that they're behaving in exactly the same way Fianna Fáil-led administration behaved going into the last election. They're in denial. They're sleepwalking into an almighty kicking, and they're going to get it probably. I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to know that, but I think they probably will. But I just want to respond to one of your tweeters there. The tweet machine is at us again. I did never advocate a default. By the time this government came to power, our office, as I prefer to call it, they had the Troika deal in place. As Michael observed earlier, there was something like 67.5 billion euro of a stream of funds available to us. But they made decisions, and I know it's not very appetizing, Michael, to reprise some of the incidents that happened back then. But the incidents, the decisions that the government made on assuming office in 2011 have had direct linear connections to the impacts on Irish people today in terms of the property tax, education cuts, healthcare, people dying on the streets, and of course the water charges.
Okay, so all the more need possibly for a party on the left. Does it matter what that party is? Well, Michael Taft.
No. I think the position that Unite had in the last election, and we will certainly be discussing it in the upcoming this, but we would like to see all progressive parties and independents, if you will, on one side of the House, on a broad platform. What this country does not need is another Fine Gael-led government or Fianna Fáil-led government. It needs a progressive government.
Who do you mean by that? Name the parties. Who do you mean?
Well, I mean, you let the parties come forward as they will to declare that themselves.
Do you mean Labour? Do you mean Labour, for example?
I think there's a lot of good people in Labour.
Okay, Sinn Féin.
Imagine Sinn Féin.
Socialist Party?
Yes.
People Before Profit?
Yes.
Austerity
and a number of independents like Catherine.
Couldn't agree what day it is.
Huh?
That crowd couldn't agree what
day it
is. This crowd couldn't agree on the time of day.
No,
never mind policies that will impact the lives of the people.
I'm sorry, Ger, but you know, you say that they don't agree. What has happened in Right to Water?
Absolutely,
with the exception of Labour, and I hope you know, I wish Labour was involved.
They are not organising the Right to Water. It is the Right to Water campaign itself that everybody is coming behind. I mean, we saw what Sinn Féin did already. Don't talk about that, David. You were paying your water charges until you realised that you were being upstaged.
Joe Costello, is it disconcerting for Labour, and you in Labour, that you have all of the main players on the left mobilising tomorrow, but Labour is out in the cold?
We'd love to see a situation whereby we could deal with all of the issues, the local property tax, the water charges, and balance the budget without having to pay for it. Now, we have to pay for an infrastructure in the water charges. People say, no, there's a right to water. Of course there's a right to water. There's a right to food, but you have to pay for it.
Okay,
now,
quickly,
it's a very modest payment.
First of all, to this notion of unity on the left, the Right to Water campaign is a grassroots, organic, working class movement supported by Sinn Féin, by left parties and by trade unions. And we have successfully worked together to mobilise tens of thousands of people. It is not beyond the ability of all progressive individuals and trade unions and political parties to work together in the interests of citizens. Because I want to see what Michael talked about is a government without, by the way, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, if that was possible. We do need a left-leg government, but we have to have a debate on what type of economy, what type of society that we want.
I'm going to ask you,
fairness.
I'm going to ask you to put on your headphones. 51551, I'm joined by our Washington correspondent, Katrina Perry, because we have the Detroit group who are here in Dublin to join the anti-water charges protest tomorrow. But Katrina Perry, you're very welcome to the programme. You went to see for yourself what the situation is in terms of water infrastructure and charges and so on in Detroit. What's it like there?
The situation in Detroit is really very different to how it is in Ireland on a whole number of levels. I suppose, firstly, they have had charges for water there for a long time, rather than obviously in Ireland where they're being introduced. And the average household bill, say a family of four in Detroit, you're talking $75-$80, so about €60 a month, which is about twice the average elsewhere in the US. So that's quite a lot of money that households have to pay out. And the problems that they've seen in Detroit, obviously, as people know, the city went into bankruptcy in summer 2013. It's actually due to exit bankruptcy tomorrow. And what happened, part of the problem there was that the city wasn't collecting the water bills. So it ended up being owed by its citizens $115 million in unpaid water bills because, as the agencies have said themselves, they weren't very proactive in terms of chasing people for the money they owed for water. So they started that in March or April of this year. And basically, if you were more than 60 days in arrears, owing about $150, €120 or so, your water was cut off entirely. You got a cut-off notice and then it was shut down. You'd no water a week or two after that. Now, the water agency in Detroit do say that they reconnected most people, something like 75 or 80% of people within 2 days, either because their arrears were paid or they came to some kind of arrangement whereby they would be paid over the next 2 years. But also interesting in Detroit is the amount of unpaid water bills from large commercial entities. So it wasn't just your ordinary households owing $200 or so. You had a situation, for example, the local ice hockey stadium owed $82,000, the American football stadium owed $55,000, and the actual city-owned golf courses owed over $400,000 in unpaid water bills. So something very different happening in Detroit, and they've had protests and everything as well for the last few months, but it's more about people not wanting their water shut off because they can't pay their bills.
What about investment in water infrastructure? Did that improve significantly when money was being raised by charging people for water?
Well, the money that was being raised by getting the charges for water actually was going to pay off the city's debts. Detroit's water infrastructure, like much of the rest of its infrastructure, is creaking and crumbling and in disarray. The point of what they're trying to do now, once they exit bankruptcy tomorrow, is the rest of the money they collect from people and the arrears they collect from people will go to, they say, improving that water infrastructure and creating jobs as well, employing Detroiters to, fix the infrastructure, because the unemployment rate in Detroit is even worse than it is in Ireland at the moment.
Stay with us if you don't mind. David Cullinan, does that diminish the fact that Katrina Perry says we're not comparing like with like here? Does it diminish any point that the Detroit group may make tomorrow?
No, because nobody in Ireland is saying that what is happening in Detroit is exactly the same as what it is happening in this state in Ireland. What the people of Detroit who are here are saying is that we have landed ourselves in a position where, yes, the city is bankrupt, but that people are without water. And it's because of the privatisation of the water services. There's a real concern here in this state, because she talked about the cost of $60 a month, I think it is, per household. We have to also understand that European policy in relation to water charges that this government is following is that we have full cost recovery, which will at some point mean, if government policy is implemented in full, that people will pay €600, €700, €800 a year on water charges. And really what we're seeing is the principle of the charge being established. So what this government wants to do is establish the principle that we're going to charge families on average, a family with two or three children and two adults, about €400 a year. It's now reduced, and it's capped until 2019 or 18, whatever the year it is. But the charges will go up.
Okay, once you're brought in, and that's the fear. Will people listening this evening and tomorrow fear the Detroit message?
I think people listening would admire what they're doing in Detroit. What they're protesting against is not shutting off the water. In a city like Detroit, if there was no water going through the pipes, that's not going to happen here in Ireland. They're not protesting against paying for water. Indeed, paying €60 per month, we'd be paying €60 per annum. You're not comparing like with like at all.
And you say, not you particularly, but Labour says in a press release issued today that all of the concerns referenced by the Detroit group have been allayed already.
Every single one
like
have
what?
Been allayed in it.
It's nonsense.
Well, for example, we're not shutting off the water. That's not going to happen.
You're trying to turn it down to a trickle.
We are not going to privatise.
Even if people don't pay?
Even if people don't pay, that's an absolute statement categorically that it's not going to be cut off. The people will pay. I mean, people pay their bills. You don't cut off all of the essential services to people if they don't pay. Well, we're certainly not going down that road. But there is nothing in the campaign website that we have carefully scrutinised that hasn't been addressed in the proposals that we have put
there.
Okay,
what else, sorry? What else has been allayed in terms of their concerns?
Have you talked to them?
Sorry.
In terms of the concerns put forward by the Detroit group, you say those concerns have been categorically allayed.
They've been categorically addressed.
Have you met them?
No, I haven't met
them. Well, then you don't know what
they're concerns. No, I said the website. You weren't listening to me, David.
I met them.
Look, their website, it clarifies their position, what their campaign is all about. And their campaign about is effectively what we're introducing in the Dáil, what we'll be debating in an hour's time in the Dáil. This will go on for another couple of hours in the Dáil tonight and again tomorrow in relation to water.
Okay, you say that the concerns have been allayed. And in your press release, you say an end to water shutoffs, payment plans for customers, water provider to remain a public utility, water affordability plan, and grant aid for drainage. All of those concerns have been looked after.
Yes.
Will they have any effect at all, this Detroit group, Michael Taft?
I think that Detroit group have been misled as to what the real situation is in Ireland. And I'd love to
misled
have them
by?
Well, you can guess who that might be, but certainly not by us.
Tell me.
Well, I'd like to know who their hosts are here.
Right to Water Committee. I suggest that you do not say that the Right to Water Committee, which my own union and four other unions are affiliated to, has in any way misled anybody about what the situation is here. I'd like to come in here. First off, the reason why they were invited is because tomorrow happens to be International Human Rights Day. Mm. Now, the first plank of Right to Water and the first plank of the Detroit Water Group is that water is a human right. Now, we invited them over because we'd heard about their struggles. Very difficult. I mean, this is a very depressed, a very poor city, and it's going through difficult times. And now it's not bad enough that people live in poverty and in unemployment and they get their water cut.
Not comparing like with like, says Katrina
Perry.
It's
not about comparing like with like. This is to miss the point entirely. We invited them over, not only to hear their story, but for them to tell their story about what's happening not only in Detroit, but in many parts of the United States and in many, many other parts of the world where people are getting cut off.
Why
and
if it's incomparable? If it's incomparable?
No, because, well, first off, that's what you do on Human Rights Day. You show solidarity with different groups. I mean, that should not be unusual.
On the norm.
However, what they did is they came over, and in sharing their story and their experiences, they identified something of which they said, you had better watch out. In fact, one of them described them as the ghost of Ireland's future. Because they said, once you go down, I'm not going to try to talk
quickly
over
now,
you.
Yeah.
Just let me finish.
Quickly.
That once you start commodifying something, once you start commercializing something, you are in danger.
Increasing
the price of it, but in private.
We have your point.
This talk about the Detroit group is worthy and all, but nobody cares about that either. People are concerned about their own circumstances.
The fact of the matter is, you can have any human rights day you want,
but the fact of the matter is, people don't essentially care. They will listen to the message and they'll sympathise. But the organisers, I believe, have made a tactical error by inviting these people here because it, dare I say, it dilutes the message, which is that this charge is wrong. It should not be imposed now. It's too difficult in the circumstances where we've had 7 years of austerity. And it has galvanised, this issue had galvanised the people around a whole host of issues.
Ger, I just need to correct you on something if I can. I care about human rights abuses wherever they
you
happen,
do you?
Whether it's Detroit or
you care about human rights
absolutely
abuses.
Absolutely I do. Absolutely.
And all your party members care
of
about human
we
rights
do.
Abuses.
All of us.
Don't
Ger,
start
want to engage
now.
In well if you want to have
look,
that debate
I know where that conversation
is.
I care
about human rights abuses.
We'll invite you both back at some other stage to discuss that one. We don't have time. We have 2 minutes left. But can I ask you tomorrow quickly now around the panel, my thanks to Katrina Perry, by the way, for joining us. We have to let her go now with 2 minutes to go. But David Cullinan, how many people do you expect tomorrow?
I wouldn't put a figure on it because I don't know. I think we'll have a big mobilisation and I think people will come to listen to the workers from Detroit but also to come in solidarity with each other as
What's
communities.
What's the minimum needed to make an impact?
I would say 30,000 would be the minimum. But I think we will get more than that.
Do you fear crowd? Would you fear 30,000 tomorrow?
We've heard people talk about 200,000.
Nobody talked about
Yes.
Government, maybe.
Deputy Coppinger and Deputy Murphy
I'll
are talking
about
200,000.
If you got 10,000 on the street, would it change anything in your opinion? If there was 10,000 people on the street, would it change one iota for you?
Look, everybody has the right to march and protest, and that is very welcome. So, let's see what people have to say. Let's see whether people come out and protest.
10,000, will that change anything for you?
Considering the change...
Yes or no,
we listen to the people.
Quickly.
And we
change anything, yes or no?
We listened to the
10,000, yes or no?
We listened to the people and we brought in these
Michael
changes.
Taft, minimum required to make any impact.
I couldn't give you the number. All I can say is to people, if they come out tomorrow, just like they came out in October and November, look what we achieved so far. Look what we got the government to do. If we come out tomorrow in a peaceful, democratic protest and make our voice heard collectively, we may be able to achieve even more because we've come a long way.
I don't think it'll make any difference how many turn out. I don't think the government has any capacity to move on this anymore or else it will lose its authority to
govern. Okay, a quick look at tomorrow's Irish Examiner. A deafening silence. Childline's night services faces axe due to a funding shortfall despite Taoiseach's vow to safeguard children, and the Irish Daily Star, I don't give an F dot dot K, chase me, speeding vicars rant at Gardaí. Muíochas marsin le Joe Costello, David Cullinan, Michael Taft agus Ger Colleran, Chomala Katrina Perry, Wimshe agus an wedding, gudí a mórach agus jess, lán agus bannach.